Hello! We're going to begin. I want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors, Chaim and Aviva Wilkatch, who are sponsoring in honor of Paul and Chani Schuster and all that they do for the shul. And we thank, of course, the Wilkatch for their sponsorship, and we very much echo the sentiment of the sponsorship and our Hakaras HaTov for Paul and Chani. The topic for this evening is something that comes up towards the end of one of the parashios of the double reading that we will have this week for part of Zachrimos. And in Parak Yud Ches, Pasuk Gimel, we are told, Kamayisei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Bo, those actions and behaviors that are characteristic of the land of Mitzrayim, that land in which we had just dwelled, Ozasu, should not do them. Ukamayisei Eretz Kanaan Asher Animevi Eschem Shama, and the actions, again, the immoral characteristics of Canaan, which you are about to go to, also los asu. Then we have the famous catch-all at the end, u'b'chukoseyem lo seylechu. And there, which is at least both of the countries mentioned, if not more broadly, in their ways, and their chukim, you should not follow. And this, this three-word phrase is the source of a mitzvah, lo saseh in the Torah, and one which is discussed by at least two very critical Gemaras, and I think that the Gemaras seem to contradict each other, and the attempt to resolve these two Gemaras and their relationship with each other is what leads to some very interesting and fruitful discussion in the Rishonim, and then to the Achronim and the Poskim, and will relate to many issues. I would like to discuss, if we can, some very practical questions, just so that no one should get their hopes up and therefore have them dashed. I am not planning on talking about Thanksgiving. I'm not planning on talking about Mother's Day. And I'm not planning on talking about Father's Day. Now, as an aside, I happen to be a fan of all 3 days. But there is something unique about them being a calendar day, which, at least according to some poskim, requires separate treatment. So I'm not going to discuss any of those, but I do hope to discuss some issues, for example, the issue of dress, in the generic sense for men and for women. Dress is an issue, perhaps we'll have time at the end of this year, some of the issues that interesting that are related to Eretz Israel, and in fact, related to events of this past week, such as Yom HaZikaron. Some of you know, I'm sure you all know, that Yom HaZikaron has its own controversy in Eretz Israel, because of the siren that goes off, and the whole country is expected to stand at attention quietly for a minute. And every year, Nebuch, there's usually a picture in the front page of the newspaper of some very obviously Orthodox Jew who has decided to make it his life's wish to not stand at attention for that moment. And it, needless to say, is a repeated controversy. Whether they take it seriously or not, whether they mean it or not, those who are ever asked usually say, if they're saying something intelligent, will say that it's a violation of Klukas HaAkum to mourn in such a way. So that's an issue. That is an issue I think it's worth even thinking about. Another related point, also from Yom HaZikaron, or the broader issue that Yom HaZikaron represents, military funerals in Eretz Yisrael. Some of the poskim at the early dawn of the state were discussing that issue of some of the special funeral practices that the Israeli military wanted to adopt. Where were they going to get them from? Whether it be the American army, the British army, but other militaries. They weren't looking to Shulchan Aruch and Minhagei Yisrael to do that. So the question was whether those are a violation of Klukas HaAkum. So these types of questions, and obviously there's a lot in between, are some of the things that I hope to address. And like anything, if you start at the end, you'll get nowhere. You'll just get heated emotion, not calm thought. We first need to start with the Gemaras and the Rishonim, and then if we develop the principles, then we can apply them to some carb and perhaps even some hot-button issues. The first Gemara that I want to mention that discusses this is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. It's actually discussing, of all things, one of the issue of capital punishment in Halacha, what's known as Mitzvah HaNeharagin, and the Gemara talks, the Mishnah is talking about Sayif. How do you fulfill, if somebody is guilty of a particular Aveira with the proper witnesses, etc., and he has the punishment of Saif, how is that executed? So the Mishnah tells us, this is HaNeharagin, HaYumatizin Es Rosho B'Saif. They would decapitate his head with a sword, Kedere Shehamalchus Oseh, like the non-Jewish governments do when they kill their people. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, no. Nivul Hulo, to take a sword and go, that's somehow disgusting, that's menuvuldik, as we would Yiddishize it. Rather, says Rabbi Yehuda, Manichen es rosho al asadan, v'kotzeit v'kupitz. You put his head on some kind of a platform, and then you take an axe, and you chop it off. What is that referring to? The guillotine. The guillotine. Now, I'm not exactly sure why one is particularly less nivul than the other. They're both pretty ghastly. But Rabbi Yehuda held that that's, at least as the Mishnah presents it, that that's better. However, as I just alluded to, the Tanakhama or the Chachamim respond to him, what are you talking about? Ein misa menuvelus mizu. On the contrary, the guillotine is even more disgusting and worse. It's hard to get a grasp of the subtleties here. Ad kan the Mishnah. Ad kan the Mishnah.
What's the citation?
Mishnah is in Sanhedrin, and Beis, and Beis. So the Gemara comments on this and says the following. Tanya, Amar letter of Yehuda Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, who was pro-guillotine, and the Mishnah ended in mid-conversation with the Chachamim saying, that's the worst nivel. So Rabbi Yehuda, in the Gemara, responds. You're right, I'm asking, the guillotine is disgusting. What could I do? Shayom Torah. There's a halacha of Lukas Akum. We can't do what the Goyim do. And in the Mishnah itself, when it described the, this is pre-France, when it described the swinging of the sword, the Mishnah itself described it as Kederach Shehamalchus Oseh, the way the non-Jews are doing. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't do what you want to do, even though perhaps it's slightly less disgusting, because it's a violation of Lukas Akum. The Gemara says, Taka, good point. Harabanan, how are they going to respond? So the Gemara says, Kev intichsiv sayef v'araisa. Since we are taught in the Torah, we're not going to them to look for the source. It's ksiv b'Torah, it's a Jewish source. It's ksiv b'Torah sayef lav minayhu kagamrina. We're not learning from them, and therefore the fact that we happen to be doing the same thing as them, that's what was meant in the Mishnah. Kederash HaMalchus Oseh. It happens to be the same thing as them. But not that we learn from them. It's Ksuva B'Torah. After all, says the Gemara in continuation, Ilote Mahachi, because if that wasn't the case, we have another example. If that's not, again, the point, the principle of this Gemara we see so far is, where's the source? Is the source from them, or is it an internal source? And that is proved, says the Gemara, by the continuation. Because if that's not a good rule of thumb, we'd have the problem. After all, the Brisa teaches us, Sorfin al Hamalachim, that when a king, a Jewish king would die, he would take all of his property, create a big bonfire, and destroy it all. Gemara is worried that that's what the non-Jews did for their kings as well. It should be a violation of Lukas Akum. However, there's a Brisa, a pre-existent Brisa, that not only confirms that that is a Jewish practice, but affirms that it is a legitimate practice. It's not a violation of Chukas Akum. The non-Jews are doing that for their kings. How could we do it for our king? So the Gemara, because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, there's a makor in Navi, that's the way you're supposed to react to a king. Lav minayu kagamrina. We're not learning from them. Hachanami, when it comes to the capital punishment, preferring the sword over the guillotine. Kaven the sifayat baraisa. Lav minayu kagamrina. Fascinating machlokas going back to the Mishnah, which the Gemara elucidates. The original context is how to kill people in certain capital cases. The extended case has to do with how we dispose of the king's property, and the principle that the Gemara in the takeaway line from Gemara Sanhedrin is, where are we learning it from? What's the source? Minayu kagamrinan, or from the Torah or the Navi kagamrinan? That's piece of information number one, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. However, there is another Gemara, it's a Gemara in Masachas Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara is referring back to this same discussion, especially the part about Sarfan al-Malachim, the destroying of the king's property. And the Gemara says, Mechlal d'Rabbanan Savri, Srefa Chukihi. Could it be that there's anyone who thinks that's a problem? V'hatanya, Sarfan al-Malachim. The price says, we do this. V'lomidarcha Amori. And if you think this is a violation, how could we do it? After all, the pasuk in our parasha says, now, if we would stop here, what would we anticipate the Gemara saying? It should just, you know, cut and paste. It should mimic what the Gemara in Sanhedrin said. Lav kaminayu kagamrin. Lav minayu kagamrina. But that's not, you'll note, the answer the Gemara of Hadazar gives. The Gemara of Hadazar gives a different answer. Ella, rather, no. Kuli alma srefa lav chuki. Everyone holds that the srefa with the king's property is not a problem. Why? Chashivusahi. It's being done to demonstrate the chashivus of the king. Why do we do this? And this actually answers a different question, which is why is this not a violation of Baltashkas? The answer is because Baltashkas is not a problem when you're doing something for a good reason. And even though we're very far removed from the real nuances of the monarchical covet, but the reality is that when you have a monarchy and all the extremes of covet that that implies, one of the ways we show that covet is that anything that they use, no one else shouldn't just be hanging around afterwards, and certainly no one else should ever be able to use it. What's a classic and extreme example of that, which we brought from Do Not Burn?
The pot.
Oh. His wife. Joel got where I was going. Yeah. No one else is ever allowed to marry his wife or wives. Now, we don't burn her, Bob. No. But it's an aside. I'll just mention to you. There's a Maisa. I forget what the source is, but I've seen it written by one of probably the most well-known modern-day columnists. His name is Mark Stein. He's not Jewish, but he actually wrote a beautiful column because he's very pro-Israel. He wrote a very beautiful column about how he was accused once. He was at a platform with Barbara Emil, who's the well-known, she's the wife of this guy, Conrad Black, who's so much Jewish, Jerusalem Post. Anyway, she's English, one of these fancy English people who's actually very pro-Israel. She's a Jew and pro-Israel, that's a Kiddush, even in England. And there's been a lot of attacks on them. And this guy, Mark Stein, was with her. And someone started asking a question in a very public, hostile forum, assuming that because he was standing with her and they're both pro-Israel, that he must also be Jewish. So he wrote a whole column about that episode, and I forget the exact one-liner. I actually wrote him an email, I don't know if you ever got it. But how mamish, what a beautiful thing. He wrote there, how I'm not Jewish, but if I would be, it would be the highest compliment I could ever receive. It's a very, very beautiful thing. So anyway, and he's writing about it. He has a book where he writes about some of the challenges with Islamism and all the different things that are going on now in the world. And now we have to respect, you know, people argument about cultural relativism, to respect their culture and that culture. So he has a maisa that basically proves that he says when the British had colonized India, so India had, I don't know all the exact details I wanted to speak, but in certain contexts, maybe, I guess, I don't know if it was a king or just some anybody, when the husband would die, they would burn the wife. So the British decided you can't do this, and they looked at him and said, this is our Masorah, this is what we do. And he said, fine, but our Masorah is, if you burn a woman, we'll then burn you. What happened? This is incredibly profound. That was, okay, you want to have your Masorah, that's fine. But for us, that's called murder. We're going to... We're not respect, you know, that's immoral. I don't care if you want to call it your Masorah or not. We're not going to respect that. We're going to punish you for that. So, Lamaisa, we don't burn people, Khalilah, just because their husband died. But we do burn property, and that is considered a statement of the Chashivas. So, says the Gemara, it's not considered Chukas Ha'akum because we have a good reason to do it. We're not doing it. Stam Chashivusahi, says the Gemara. Gufa, to prove the point, the Gemara says,
So why do you stop growing grass? I'm not sure
what you're referring to. I don't know. But it's interesting that you're quoting the Gra, because we're going to be getting to the Gra soon. I don't know what you're referring to, so I wasn't planning on talking about that. But the Gra is a Shita, which is very unique in this Parsha, we're going to get to. So what I want to point out from this is that we have a new rule. Gemara, again, also wanting to ask, which again, we could ask even if we didn't have these Gemaras, just from our common experience. Yes, we're pasuk in Chumash, we have a halacha. Yeah, what does that mean? That we can't, where do you draw the line? There's nothing we can do that Goyim also do? Is that, could it be? It's impossible. So we can ask the question in a kind of generic sense, or we can ask the question more specifically than the Gemaras do. Sarfna, halachim, sayif. Here we have halachos, which seems to dovetail with what the non-Jews are doing. How could it be okay? And we have two different answers in the two Gemaras, respectively. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it depends what the source is. Minayu kagamrinan, or from the Torah kagamrinan, what's the source? Is it an authentically Jewish source? Or do we learn it from them? And the Gemara in Hadazar Torah says no, as long as there's a reason for it, a good reason for it, hashimusahi, then it's okay, as opposed to, and you fill in the blank with the as opposed to. Now, there are many Rishonim who look at these two Gemaras and say, this seems to be not just two different things, but ostensibly could be a stira. Because which one is, you know, one of them is much more machmir, theoretically, than the other. And you could easily imagine cases which fit somewhere in between the two. The Gemara in the Sanhedrin, l'chora, is much more restrictive, much more machmir. Only if something has, the Gemara gives two different examples, where you say, you know, there's a Torah source. If there's an authentic Torah source, it's allowed. But anything else, perhaps the mashmas of the Gemara is also. Yet the Gemara of Azara has a much more flexible, fluid definition, which doesn't require a specific scriptural source. It requires, again, not arbitrary, but some level of good reason. As long as there's a good reason for it, it's okay. And obviously we know there are a lot of things you can imagine that are a good reason, but aren't Ksuv b'Torah. The case they were talking about at Sarfin, so that happened to fit both criteria, which is why both Gemaras could give those respective answers. But we could easily imagine a case which met one criteria, not the other. So how do we resolve this apparent contradiction? So this already Tosfos notices, and then from Tosfos, other Rishonim get into the act. Now Tosfos may be the first to mention it, and I'll try to discuss a little what Tosfos says, but the truth is that Tosfos' answer is very complicated. It's hard to know exactly what Tosfos means. There's a lot we don't have time for it now, but there's a lot of struggle to try to understand what Tosfos even means. Tosfos asks the question, this is in Avodah Zarah, on that Gemara. Tosfos quotes in the name of the Ri the following. V'kach pirush Ri, t'trei gavnei chuka hava. Two different principles we have to start with. Echad, she'osin l'shem chok l'avodas chachavim. If they're doing something, the non-Jews, for Avodah Zarah, chok of Avodah Zarah, not Avodah Zarah as a code for non-Jew. Avodah Zarah as a religious Avodah Zarah. And they do that, so that's something that we are never allowed to imitate. Grace, you know, they've turned wafer into religious food, so we couldn't do that, for example. However, it says there's a second thing, and that is Echosh Osn L'Shem Das Hevel V'Shtos Shalem. They have a shtos, they have an Irishkeit. There is no good reason. There's not even no bad reason. There's no good reason. Says Tosfos, Lahachi Pirach, so getting into the mind, if you will, of the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, Tosfos says the following. When the Gemara asked the Kasha, how are we surfing Al Malachim? They thought it was a chukah of Avodah's Kochavim, that they burn it for Avodah Zarah purposes. If that's the case, Anan, Hechis Arfinen, Lahachi Vuchusem Lachelechu. Ah, you'll say, but there's a pasuk in the Navi Yirmiyah that says you should do it. This is, I don't want to get too off onto this tangent because this is very complicated, but Tosfos says something that the Ramban Al HaTorah says, both with the same example, and that is that, at least in theory, and I know exactly the questions you would ask me, so don't ask them because I don't want to answer them. I don't know. It's not our topic. I mean, it's a related topic, but it would be too far off the field. Tosfos says, even something that is Siv Baraisa, so we did it first, if it's then co-opted for Avodah Zarah, we bow out. What's the Raya says? Also, it's the same thing that Ramban Al HaTorah says, Matseva. Right? The Avos used Matseva. We know that that was okay. But at some point, I'm not exactly sure of the chronology, it became something they did for Avodah Zarah. Both Ramban and Tosfos say, that's why it's usher to use a Matseva to bring a carbon. Matseva meaning the one stone, as opposed to the two stones of a Mizbeach. We were doing it first, Ksiv Ba'araisa. Says Tosfos, if they use it for Avodah Zarah, that trumps the fact that we did it first. So that's where the Gemara's mindset was when it asked the question, how could we burn the king's clothes? How could we burn the king's clothes? It's Avodah Zarah. The Gemara answers, no. Ela zekuli amalav choki. It's not for Avodah Zarah. Okay, but maybe it's silly. Maybe it's pointless. Maybe it's arbitrary. And therefore, we still shouldn't do it. And it's on that concern, the second halacha of Chukas Avdom, which the Gemara says, no, it's actually not arbitrary. It's not silly. It's a way of paying kavod for a melech. That's a very legitimate value. That's a very reasonable thing to do. And then Tosfos concludes, Aval Vadai, and then he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mishtai Choku, Mishum Chashibus, Lefi Maskana Dahachma, a key line. Tosfos assumes that the Gemaras were not, if you will, simultaneous. The Gemara of Arizara, we read second, the Gemara of Arizara came first. That the Gemara worked through the issue in Avodah Zarah, and once we knew Avodah Zarah's conclusion, then came the specific application in Sanhedrin about the capital punishment. So, two important things, I think, again, this Tosfos is a little bit complicated, but as I understand it, two things you can take away from Tosfos. Number one is, even though it appears to be, says Tosfos, in fact, it's not a stira. The Gemaras are not saying a stira, because they're giving two different answers, because they're responding to two different concerns. The first concern is that it relates to Avodah Zarah. And that is a problem, even when Siv Ba'araisa, even if it's in the Torah. Second concern is that it's Hevel and Shtus, and Hevel and Shtus, even if it's not Avodah Zarah, would be Usur Stam, unless we say either there's a good reason or it's Siv Ba'araisa. So that's the upshot of Tosfos. And in terms of the Gemaras, Tosfos is basically trying to weave them together and say, yes, they said different things, but one was working off of the other. They really complement each other. Right? No steer. That's Tosfos' answer. And it seems that a lot of other Rishonim disagree. A lot of other Rishonim see this as more of a bald contradiction. And if you have a contradiction in Halach HaLamaisa, you have to paskin like one or the other. So one of the first to do that is the Ram. The Ram in Maseches Avodah Zarah, again, not as explicitly as I'm presenting it, but the upshot of what he says is that he seems to be choosing one of the Gemaras over the other. You tell me which one you think he's choosing. I'll read you the Lashon of the Ram. What is Asr? What's the only thing the Torah Asr'd? Eilu Dvarim Shel Hevel V'kulan Yesh Behem Tzorech for Srach Avodah Zarah. Things which seem to have no reason. So come on. Nothing has no reason. It may have no discernible reason to you. You don't know the background. You don't know the qualities of their Avodah Zarah history. But really, we have to be choshesh that it has an Avodah Zarah background. And that's why it's usher. But something that has a discernible toeles, the bar of Shel Tam, sharu. That's allowed. And an example, then, getting back to the Gemara, there's a good reason to do it. Else come. So, the Ran seems to be saying, I think, yes, there is a machlokas, but what's the one point that he never mentions? It's never in his discussion. Is it written in the Torah? That's never part of the Ran's resolution. In other words, I think he sees that as different. Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah are at odds. The Ran is passing like Avodah Zarah, Gemara Avodah Zarah. Namely, that the issue is, does it have a good reason or not? And you'll say, why can't I be a little bit of a Meshuggah and I'm just going for no reason? So the Ran, because we're worried whether you realize it or not, again, just to clarify, this is not to say that because you're doing it, you're yourself intentionally doing something Avodah Zarah. If that's the case, then we'd have much bigger problems. Right? That we'd really throw the book at you. This is even if you're oblivious to or have no interest in the Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter. Chukas Akum says the Ran teaches you the things that, something that's obviously for Avodah Zarah, for sure is Asr. But even things that are completely Hevel v'Shtos, we are worried that they have an Avodah Zarah background. Now, it's hard to find examples of this now, but the first time I ever gave this shiur, somebody said to me, and I haven't, actually, Alan may be a good person, if you don't know the answer, to research it, that's for me. Somebody said, you know what is an example of this? When people cling the clubs together for shears. People like to make a l'chaim, but instead of the way we do, just say l'chaim.
Well, the reason they did that was because people used to poison each other's drinks, and when you put it together, some would go in the
So this is good. That's my focus. It's my focus with whoever told me when I went. And it's good because so according to you, it says Barum Shel Tam. That's a good reason. So then there's nothing wrong with it. But I was told is that that's not the origin. I was told the origin has to do with the spirits. And that it's like their version of Ayin Hara. They'll clink the glasses, and that changes the way the spirits. So that taco could be a Avodah Zarah. That could be a problem. Tanakh Gemina, whether you can clink glasses will be whether my unknown or unremembered named friend is right or Alan is right. Alan, you're on the case, okay? Alan is on the case. We look forward to an update and information to uncover this, okay? And for now, this Shabbos, just say l'chaim. Okay, until we resolve.
Knocking wood?
Yes. Knocking wood is the same thing.
Yeah, okay, so maybe that's a problem.
Knock on wood is the cross.
Right. Okay, so that's even worse.
Really?
That's even worse.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Nobody knows that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Somebody knows it. Somebody knows it. Okay.
I never claimed it less in my life.
Did you think it's not thing about the story?
It depends on if they have a good bet. Starting on what? Burning the king's clothing? Is a guy Shimonah. But that's not a problem for us, because they come up with a good idea, we're allowed to steal it. Right? I would add, they stole money about good ideas, we can steal some of their good ideas. As if it's a good reason, that's what the Gemara about Azara says, and Iran confirms that. It's a good reason to do this.
No, about Azara, tell me.
Huh? Yeah, Iran doesn't care about that. Iran does not care. It's a good reason to do it, that's enough. I mean, that's what the Iran says.
And there can't be an about Azara.
Correct. The Rambam, again, the Rambam, as we know, is not giving you an explanation of Gemaras. The way the Rambam quotes the Halacha, it's hard to know exactly how he resolves the Gemaras, but the Rambam has a very, and just to point out, and my backboard admirers now would illustrate, this Ran, to a certain extent, is a big kula. It's a big kula. You don't have to just find Yiddish sources for something. As long as there's a good reason, then we can do it. The Rambam has a very expansive, what seems to be a Pashto's chumrah approach to the issue. The Rambam says, "Ein olchem pukas of the kochavim, v'lo medamin lehen lebamalbush lebseyar." And this is one famous gemara about certain kinds of haircuts. We're not supposed to have their non-Jewish style haircuts, and we're not supposed to dress like them. Says the Rambam, "Shneamar lo selchu b'chukas agoyim b'chukas ayim lo seleichu." Rather, in an affirmative sense, says the Rambam, "Yeha Yisrael muvdal mehen." We should be separated from them. V'yaduba malbusho, we should be recognizable by the way we dress. U'b'sha'ar ma'isav, in the way we act. K'mosh v'mudno mehen v'mada'o u'b'deosav. Just like in our philosophy and our theology is unique, so to our dress and our otherwise identifying behavior should be unique. Now if you stop here, and to me this is the primary thrust of the Rambam, this is a very expansionist Machmir approach of the Rambam. I believe that I once read somewhere that notwithstanding historical arguments or explanations, but if you wanted to find a mocker for the minhag of Hasidim, the daf could dress different. I know you're all thinking, when they started they weren't dressing differently. I know. But some suggest that the mocker for that mindset is this Rambam. This Rambam, that we should be known, that when someone sees you in the way you're dressed, they know right away. Right, if you open your mouth, hopefully it's obvious that you're a Ben Zohar. But even before that, the Rambam says, just you should be Nikar by your Balbusho or by your Saro, etc. Now, it seems very, very different than the Rambam. Very different than the Rambam. The Beis Yosef actually, when he quotes this in Yoredeya, he actually suggests that they might not be so far apart. Happy to say that it's very different, because of the last phrase of the Rambam, which I didn't read to you, the Rambam, when he's summarizing up as one little phrase, which, depending on how much weight you give it, may be qualifying the whole previous few lines. The Rambam adds, lo yilbash b'malbush, you shouldn't dress in what kind of malbush? Hamiyuchad lehen, which is unique to them. That's definitely different than what he started off with saying. First he was saying we have to dress in a unique way to us, then he says we should dress in a unique way to them. Now, if you read it quickly, you may think they're synonymous. Says Beis Yosef, that's a very different. What if there's something that's not miuchad to us or to them? Everyone wears it. So on the one hand, if I wear it, if you go by the end of the seifa of the Rambam, that's not miuchad lehen, it should be okay. If you go by the ratio of the Rambam, it's not miuchad to us. Not clear. Now, I still think my instinct is that the thrust of the Rambam is the first part. The Beis Yosef, though, all due deference to Beis Yosef, he thinks, no, the end qualifies everything before that. So maybe the Rambam is not so different than the Ran, I'm not sure.
How does the Ran deal with the Shino Mahbusham and have the character sign?
That medrash itself is not clear, and no one says that it's an usher to. No one says that. They were doing, again, that whole medrash is very complicated. I don't want to be distracted, but, I mean, they were doing avodah zarah and all sorts of things. I mean, how to resolve, what clothing, whatever. It's not so part of it.
What's the Rambam and where's
that? The Rambam is Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Yud Aleph Aleph. The Ran is the Beis of the Beis, but that Be'erif and Avodah Zarah. Now, with all of that, I now have for you the central and defining makor of the sugya. That is a tshuva of the Maharik. The Maharik is Rav Yitzchak Kolod. He lived in the 15th century in Italy, and he was the Rebbe, most notably, of the Bar Tanura. Yichus. He's not so well known, but he was a very significant posek. 15th century. This is a tshuva peches. The case, relevant to the doctors among us, was the following shaila. I don't know, again, the scientific history of this, other than we have history, we can use the tshuva in that as a historical makor. From the Jewish doctors in Italy said that there was a new proclamation from the government that doctors needed to have an identifying cape. Theirs was black and it was a cape, and ours is white and a coat. But mamash, the same idea. You should be able to go on the ward or, know who the doctor is. They should have this identifying code. And the Frum doctors wanted to know from the Maharik, is that allowed or not? What a fascinating shaila. Now again, I would love if someone could help me and do a comparative study and figure out whether in other countries or in Italy, do we have information that really confirms that was a new phenomenon. I don't know. But that's the way the Maharik presents the shaila. So he says the following, a very, very important halachic and hashkafic language here. Lani is 19 years old, Poshut, the low lesser mishum chok. This is mutter. Absolutely mutter. Why? Because the iser is only in one of two cases. Now that sounds a little bit like tosis, but you'll see it's not going to be the same thing as tosis. Echad mishnei chalakim. Ha'efad hu? Hadover she'ein taimo nigle kinamash maloshan chok. It's not an accident. It didn't say mishpatei havayim. It says chukos ha'akum. Chukos say lo selechu. Something that's completely arbitrary, no known or obvious reason as a chok. That is what's not allowed. Chiyotim is said, and that, or anything of a similar example, Kevin Shu'o said, Dover Vashuna, Asher Ainbo Tam Nigla, since you're doing something bizarre that has no obvious purpose or reason, Ella, what else could be the reason? Shehem Noah and Cain, only that they're doing it. Oz Nirin, Vadai Kinimshech Acharehen, it looks like you're following after them, Umoda Lehem, somehow. I want to leave the word moda untranslated for now. In locate, Bama Yesat Kitvarim Hatzmulim Ha'ila. Why else are you doing it? Now, I think here the word moda means imitate. And I think it's meant in the spirit of imitation. No. But I'm glad you got confused, Alan, because I think you're not the only one. I think earlier posts have gotten confused. I think it's Meduyuk in the Marik, and he never says anywhere in this part about Avodazara. You got confused because when the Ran said, if there's no reason, why else? We must be worried that there's some avodas our origins. The Marik never said that. He stresses something else, if I'm reading it correctly. He says something else, which I think is that Modi here means imitation in the spirit of imitation is the highest form of flattery. The idea of wanting to be like them, because it's them, that type of an Avera, that's how he understands this din. I'm reminded, Mamish, when I was once talking to some high school kids about this, they certainly resonated with them, especially the older ones. What was the big ad when I was in high school age kids? I want to be like Mike. Right? I want to spend $130 on a pair of sneakers for one reason. Because Michael Jordan has them. I want to be, how did Jingle go? I want to be like Mike. You're fortunate, your kids also did, right? The rest would have been out of pocket like my parents were. That idea, Mavish succinctly captured in that phrase, that is what the Marik says is awesome. Doing it just because they're doing it, you want to be like them. I'll add that I didn't see this inside, but the Chubis B'nai Bodim, that's probably Universal Hankin, I guess Eliyahu Hopkins' grandson. You ever like it at the tshuva where he quotes a letter of the Chazon Ish. I'm not sure if it's a published letter or not, but I've never seen it other than by Rav Hankin's citation, where he, paraphrasing the Chazon Ish, said, he quotes the Chazon Ish, how did he define the Isser? Mis'ave lehidamos lehem. An and I think the key is Aved is the key line. That's exactly the same point I'm trying to make. Yeah, like a teenager. Yeah, you want to be like them, that burning desire to imitate them, l'shem imitation, because you want to be like them, you want to keep up with them. It's not that you happen to think the same thing as them.
But if it's something not bad...
It's exactly, says the Marik, again, if it's something that has a good reason, that's why you're doing it. That's what, again, that's exactly what I told my mother. I'll be a better basketball player. I'll be able to cut a nine. I may even be able to dunk. And, okay, and Echinami, the Marik says it's Mutter. And Echinami, Alan, Echinami. But if there's no other reason other than to be like them, that is us. Now the question, Alan, which is a tricky one, is this subjective or not? Or do you say it depends on the person, but their motivation? Do you say this can be fluid? I'll give you an example. I don't know. I never asked him if he meant it mamish halacha sufa l'maisa, but I remember once hearing in the Beis Medrash that there was a time, you know, the older people in the room remember when originally three-button suits were in style. Right? When I was growing up, chalila, you would have worn a three-button suit, they would have laughed you out of town. And at some point, while I was in Beis Medrash or college, the three-button suits came back in, and I think they're still in. So around that sufa, somebody said to me that Rav Shachter mentioned in Shir, he thought it might be a problem with Hukazah. And that once four-button suits became popular, and the three-buttons became winter. I didn't ask him if he really meant it, halakha wise or not. But what I think he was getting at, I think, is exactly this point, which again, at least in Hashkafa, is exactly what the Marik said, and exactly what the Chazon Ish apparently said. Which is about a broader definition of fashion, which is when fashions switch. 20 years ago, we thought two buttons are the only way to go. Now it's, let's be honest, we take a step back, we all know it's all arbitrary. It's all arbitrary. So why are we running to buy the three-button suit? So if it's because that's all that's selling in the store, okay, that's one thing. But if we're doing it because last year I would never have been caught dead in a three-button suit, but this year now that the three-button suit is in, I want to be like them, that's mamish with my Rick is saying. Because let's be honest, it's hevel v'shtutz, two buttons, three buttons. But I want to be, if you're going to tell me I like blue as opposed to gray and I like pinstripes, that's already, maybe you could say there's an aesthetic there. But the other stuff, just the idea of cutting edge, how 1 year in, 1 year out, we know the whole thing is having a shush. It's just manipulating the market. So that idea, which is why once the four-button suit came in, okay, so now you buy a three-button suit. Like, I don't know if he meant it halacha l'maisa or not, but what it's expressing, I think, is very significant, and it's consistent, ultimately, with the origin of the Marik.
Even with my women. The women that change fashions almost every year.
It's not any worse. It's just the same.
So the same thing applies.
It's just the same. You may know women who care more than men, and I know men who care as much as women. That's not the point. In the fashion industry, it's just as bad. They want to make money for both.
Does this apply to spinach too?
I ain't not home. As it's been pointed out many a time.
Everybody wants to be like Popeye because you.
In what regard? Because you want to be strong. But to be strong is a good thing.
Healthy.
Yeah, to be healthy, to want to be healthy is fine.
How about small eyeglasses?
Maybe it's because I want to be like the Chazon Ish who has small
eyeglasses.
Not according to this Marik, no. No. In theory, it would be a chumrah because we're not limiting the Tavod Azara. In this din,
not the people who you're imitating, they have to be open.
No.
Let's say Ger Toshev.
I understand.
If
no.
You imitate Ger Toshev.
You mean if there was an entire culture of Ger Toshev and they had one type of clothing, and now I want to be like them, the shame being like them, I think it's still a problem. I think. It's a good point though. I don't see anyone even raise it, but I think it's still a problem.
This is what I meant about the rights. It was supposedly is Jewish, the rights took it over. Also because it ferments.
As far as I know, Darman Hagim has thrown wheat and other things in our Masara for prove ruin things. I don't remember even seeing that there's such a makor as rice. Obviously it's not done, we all know that. I've never been at a wedding where wheat was thrown either. I don't know the history of why that stopped. But I don't remember ever seeing a thing about rice. I'm thinking, I don't know. I can't answer because I don't know. Let's just get to a little more of the Marik and then we'll get to Yilui or Grow. Get to your Grow.
What Rav Shachter was saying about this suit, I don't know if he was asking or just thinking.
Me neither, so don't quote him, please.
I'm just saying, because there's another way of looking at it. Which is? Everyone's wearing three-button suits. The reason you want to wear a three-button suit maybe because you don't want to look foolish. You don't want to look... It's not positive. It's,
Okay. Again, I can give you even a better answer. Because that's what they're selling in the store. Yeah, I want you to know, I thought, you know, it looked like it was exactly a heavy investment. But I was betting, Mishaito, that was going to be bad. I didn't think it would still be it. So I was going for years with Davka, whenever I'd buy a suit, looking for a two-button suit, because listen, I'm not buying new suits every year, and I wanted the suits that I would buy to last a little bit longer. Right? And it was hard. He had like Davka every day. I'd pull out, ooh, a nice suit in my size, put three buttons in the back. And not else from kind. I was out just having a long-term investment. Now, in hindsight, the three buttons are still in it 10 years later.
You're still holding up.
This particular suit, yeah. But I have some three-button suits. I do have some three-button suits. But no four-button suits. That I have been zohir on. All of this, which is very important, is din number one of the Marik. Then the Marik says the second din. He did Hasheni Leish Lesser Mishukukas Akov Lefti and Nisgar Lamiyatai Yehudav Rasher Shayech Bo Nidnud Kritzas Geder Hatsnius Vahanova Yinhokubo Hagoyim Gamza Osir. Very profound. This is Mamish, every word of this Marik is gold. The second thing that's Osir is someone that has Nidnud of Kritzas, it's not Sanuma. I will tell me it's news, it's own halacha. The answer, I think, that the Marika is teaching us something very, very fascinating. That tznius is definitional to a Jew. It's definitional to who we are. We are tznua. And to be unsanua is not just a problem per se, as Ebenezer, if you will, but it's also a problem of, that's by definition, something that comes from without. Our essence is to be tznua. And therefore, anything else is somehow being incorporated, and therefore a problem. As he quotes from the Pesukim, Lo Chelek Yaakov, Shalokei Yisrael, etc., V'darchem Liyos Sanuim, etc., he quotes from Amar Chazal, Pesukim, all extolling the unique central focus of Snias, again, for men and for women. We're not just talking about women. V'naf Gamzo Snir, Dehainu Dav, K'shu Osa, K'dei Leidamos Aleim, Lo Letelos Yedua. If you have some good reason, again, if it's Osra, Asukha, Snias, that's a problem. But even if it's only Nidnud, technically maybe still be Mutzer. If you're doing it, again, in some way of intimidation, that's, again, the consistent theme he keeps on returning to is lihidamos eleim, you want to be like them, lola to elos yadua. But heichash advarim marim sha yisrael mizdama eleim kigon sh'osa maisa atmiya sh'ein l'toeles tam asyosna l'vechukam kidapirish le'el. All of those things are usher. However, he says, the coat of the doctor is mutter, and it's not just the doctor, he sums up very powerfully. Ein shum iser li Yisrael, lilvosh lavush. Please. This is important. Ein shum iser li Yisrael, lilvosh lavush hanohot bein hagoyim. There's no iser at all to wear the same clothes as them. Me'achar shehu baderach kashrus v'tznius oshin Yisrael. Assuming that it's a menschloch and tznius clothing, there's nothing whatsoever wrong with wearing the same clothing that they wear. The Ein HaYisrael Mechuyiv Lishtanos Minagoy Klal V'Iker. We don't have to look any different from them, says the Marik. Rak Shlo Yeheh Malbush Miyuchad Lehem. Just shouldn't be something that's so definitional to them that we're doing it because we want to be like them. But if they happen to be wearing X and Y, there's no halacha, positively or negatively, prevents us from looking like that. Now again, to me, you read that, and the first thing you say is, it's not all like the Rambam. The Beis Yosef was trying to, by the Miyuchah, the last line of the Rambam, he was trying to bring them closer. But certainly the whole thrust of it is certainly very different, at least in the beginning of the Rambam. Now with all of this, the Shas had to be Paskin. How do we Paskin? Some very different approaches out there. So there are more Paskins in Yoredeis, and Kuf Ayin Ches, Sif Aleph, Yehi Mugdom, and of Abusham. What does that mean? Ain't the Osir El Badar Shinago of the Chachavim L'Shem Pritzos. They're doing it for Pritzos. That's a problem. I once had a Rebbe, again, I don't want to, I'm not passing this halakha l'maisa, but I once had a Rebbe who thought perhaps cologne would be Osir. I'm not joking. He says, why does the man wear cologne? Because I'm attracted to women. L'Shem Pritzos.
Maybe just wants to smell good.
There are other ways to accomplish this. I'm not passing that way. I'm just saying you have to figure out how to apply this. I'm not passing that way. I once heard somebody suggest such a thing. The guy who splashes on the cologne on his way to the pickup bar, well, there's a reason he's wearing it. So you'll tell me that's not why you do it on the way to work? Okay, maybe. But maybe yes. And if you are, so aside from anything else wrong, according to the Marek, that might be another problem. Right? They're red clothing. So what was red clothing? People don't understand. That's not arbitrarily problematic. Red is problematic because that's what people who did bad things, Shalom Kol Kach Tzanua, that's what they used to wear. So you'd know who they were. So in that kind, when that was the case, then it was true. Right? Now red has no significance that way. There's nothing wrong with wearing red. I wouldn't say it's good for Einar either. That's also an Arshvait. Who Malbush Sarah Bukadomal, etc., etc. Oh, Bedaber Shnag Bulaminik Ulachok. The Ain Botan Bedaber. There's no reason for it. So if you stop there, who do you think he's passing like? Totally like the Marik. The preacher's thing, that really, the only person who ever quoted that was the Marik. But then the Ramah says, because if there is no reason, Ikalamecha Shabdarke Amari, but she yesh bo shemas avodas kochava mea avodasayim. That to me is like, that's cut and pasted from the Ran, because Marik never said that. A doctor, wears a special cape. That's how you know he's the doctor. Nothing wrong with it. Now the guy who wrote the footnotes to the Ramah, I don't think we know who it is, but we do know it wasn't the Ramah. He writes as the source, Marik. So in Yeshiva, the way it's known is that the Ramah passes like Marik. In terms of the practical things that the Ramah says, he is passed like the Marik. The only thing I would add is that the Ramah's suggestion that something has no reason is because of Avodah Zarah, so that talk is not in the Marik, that's from the Ran. Bottom line, the Marik is considered primarily, especially the way it's understood through this Ramah, as the defining Makor, which has significant kulos. Unless it's particularly priestistic, and that's the reason you're doing it, or there's no reason to do it, almost anything else you can imagine is going to be okay, assuming there's a good reason for it. However, just a worth note, there are a lot of chumras that are out there, and those are kosher. That a lot of them come from the Gra. An example is Shavuos, right? Shavuos, the Gra holds you can't decorate the shul because they do that with their holidays and their churches, etc. So the Gra, that's in Maaser Rav. That's one quote in Maaser Rav. But in Bira Gra in Yoreh, there's a very lengthy Bira Gra. And if you've ever learned Bira Gra, no, there's two sources of that Bira Gra. One is that the prince is too small. The other is that it's impossible. Gra, you have to break your head on. So a big gra is big problems. It's not like a big kosis, or sometimes it's easier than a small kosis. A big gra just means big problems. You have to break your teeth for hours just to get through this big gra. Bottom line is, what does he do? Kedarko HaKodesh? He rips every rishon. He doesn't like kosis, he shows like that's wrong. Because he's trying to make shalom between gemaras that you can't make shalom between. He doesn't like the Ran because he's ignoring the gemara and the Zara. He doesn't like this, like Mari because of the gra. He rejects everybody. That's the gra's winning. So what does he do? He has his own definition. But it's such a, aside from the fact that it's hard to reject all the Rishonim, more than that, you'll see in a moment, it's an incredibly difficult definition to apply. It's a very elusive definition. What does he say? Kol dover, shahayinu osim zulasa mutter. Anything we would have done on our own is mutter, even if they, by implication he means, even if they did it first. So maybe we would have come up with the idea of wearing a jacket and tie. I, the other one who started it, okay, but we would have come up with it on our own. Says the Gra, that's okay. Unless it's something we would have done on our own. Anything. So it's like there's two problems with this Gra. One is he made it up. Number two, again, he thinks it's a good work of the Gemara, and I don't want to cheat him. I gave you one line of a two-column beer of Gra. But number two is, how do you figure that out? How do you figure out that application? You know, you would have thought of it, you wouldn't have thought of it. So I'll leave you with two things. Number one is that when it comes to fashion, aside from everything else that I said, Moshe has a devastating tshuva against anyone who wants to be machmir, pretty much on anything regarding fashion, where he points out in the world that we live in, that you have one problem which should stop any possible iser, which is that if the clothing is made with the Jewish population in mind as a market, it's malbush akum. Right, when Calvin Klein or Ralph Lauren, forget the fact that they were Jewish anyway, the designers, even the non-Jewish designer, when he's making all of his clothing, trust me, he has in mind the Jewish market. He has nothing. He doesn't mind that the Jewish kids in Paisel are wearing the clothing, or the Jewish kids in Long Island are wearing the clothing. On the contrary, he's making it for us as much as he's making it for everybody else. So our Moshe, if we're part of the market that he's making it for, so Mechatez, you call it Malbush Goyim, Malbush Yisrael, as much as it's Malbush Goyim. So, again, maybe certain things which are particularly religious are dafka for them, but there's almost nothing which would be also recorded in Rav Moshe Zahara, which is compellingly, obviously true. It has to be Rav Moshe. This is a devastating argument. So anyone who has a certain surah about clothing, you have to get past that argument, and it's very hard to do. So that's number one. Number two to leave you with, so going forward, a lot of the shuls, which we ran out of time, a lot of things that are discussed in terms of Eretz Yisrael or other things, which I told you I wanted to get to, so a lot of them are in this context. Almost everyone is Mekil based on the Marik. that all these things, even if truth is be told, we got the idea from the Goyim, but in Maisa it's a good idea. There's a certain meaning to it. So what should be wrong with it? Lamashal, the siren. So there are those who point out that maybe according to the Gra, the siren should be also. Somebody really holds like the Gra, and the siren, the only secret should be also, because maybe you could argue, listen, we have been Hagia Velos on our own, knowing we didn't ever would have dreamed up the siren. To the best of my knowledge, it's a very, very modern thing. I believe, the little bit of research I once did, that the first idea of the siren for the dead and standing in silence came from the American Navy in World War II when they were taking the dead off the boats. They had the siren from the ship, and everyone stood in silence. So there's no question that that's where the Israelis got it from the non-Jewish armies, relatively recently. You know, Halavai would be a more traditional country and army, so maybe they would have said, let's all stand at attention and say, Halavai, maybe one day. So, Lamai, does that make it Asr? According to the Halacha Psuka in the Ramah, whether it's Marif or the Ram, no, of course it should be Mutter. Is there still a good reason? Is still Shaul Kavan Ames? What's the difference how you do it? There's still a good reason for that. If you hold like the Gra, maybe, you could argue that we never would have come up with the idea on our own. I'll mention to you that Rav Zsolti Zatzal, I'll end with this, Rav Zsolti, the Rav Rosh of Yerushalayim, in the first, I think it's the first issue ever of the journal Noam, it's a very prestigious halakhic journal, so he discussed not this so much, but military funerals, the 12-gun salute. Should they do that for the Chayalim who die, Al Kiddush Hashem, who die for the Eretz Yisrael, should they give them that kind of a funeral? So Rav Zsolti held that Al-Samarik, Ran, and Ramah, etc. Gomor, but he thought you could make an argument that according to the Gra, it would have been Asr, because what, you know, we Jews don't play with guns. You know, we would never have thought of that on our own. That's clearly a thing of the other non-Jewish armies. But Lamaisa, I don't remember if he enforced it one way or the other. Again, it's hard to say. We hold like this Gra. No one holds like the Gra. That's not what Ramah holds like. We don't usually use the Gra for almost anything else. So that's something to keep in mind in the future. A good job is not really great. Yeah.